CliffCentral.com. The Unview, the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous on CliffCentral.com.
And welcome to the show. This is CliffCentral.com, Thursdays, the magic of entertainment. As you join the Unview for the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous, and yes, we still can't work it out. Who is the Thin, who is the Rich, and who is the Fabulous? But actually not. We're all fabulous. Yay, we are. Nathan Rowe, we're all fabulous.
Yes, and we do have some thin people in studio today, which is fantastic.
We've got lots of people in studio today. Today's it's going to be a magic, magic show. First and foremost, in studio, from a production called A Beautiful Noise, we've got one of the contestants, actually two of the contestants of The Voice South Africa, Vernon Barnard and Nadine Zas. Help me.
Sysom. You were close, but no cigar.
We know her as Nadinosaur.
Or Nadinosaurus. Either way.
Right. And then we've also got possibly one of, I think, South Africa's best actors, musicians.
Gym buddies.
We're going to go there in a moment. Okay. Andrew Webster's in studio. You remember Andrew from the Buddy Holly story or Starlight Express, or he's been quite a few pantomimes, Rocky Horror Show. Soundstage, people, you know, like Jonathan Rocksmith has got like a following, Andrew's got this following. People like, we've all got to go and see Andrew in the new, whatever, the Buddy Holly show, what it is. Over 20 years in the business, the man looks like he's 30.
Like he's a child, really. He's still an infant.
He's the man.
What was that Brad Pitt movie? We just got younger and younger.
But he does look a bit
Benjamin
like
Benjamin Button.
I am Benjamin Button.
He looks a bit like Brad Pitt, actually. Andrew Webster is in studio. We're going to chat to Julian Short. He's just been crowned the world-class bartender of the year.
Well done, Julian.
I know.
I mean, I can't even stand at a bar without going insane. Never mind being on the other side trying to give those insane people
and
drinks.
And he's off to America to perform and do some magical stuff there. So we'll talk to him because, as I said, we have all facets of entertainment. And then we're going to chat in a moment to Brian Hill. It's 10 years the Teatro has been open.
Wow.
10 years. It opened and was created for The Lion King. And that was 10 years ago.
What were you doing in 2007?
I actually saw The Lion King the opening, which is great. So I think I was there.
I also did. Yeah, I think I was also there.
Did you put it on Facebook?
Then you weren't there.
Because that's about 10 years ago as well.
Mine's FBO.
Let's not even go there, Andrew Webster, because you look like you're 25. In the meantime, you're like mid-40s.
Thanks. Thanks for letting everyone know.
What's your middle name?
David.
Oh, okay. I was thinking it wasn't Lloyd.
It's not Lloyd.
Yeah.
That is really silly. on that note, just a note of solidarity, because we're talking about entertainment here, and a note that serious, horrific what happened in Manchester.
So bad.
You're all performers. I'm sitting in a room full of performers, and you go off to perform for an audience, young people, you've done this all before, and something like that happens, and you think to yourself, my goodness, what is going on in the minds of these terrorists, these... They're not even human beings. They're subhuman beings. They're not even animals.
You know what was quite beautiful about it, though, Al, is that like the way the people came together, you know, after the fact. Mm. I mean, I don't know if you heard about all the things. I know the Manchester soccer team provided transport for people. Ariana Grande is paying for everyone who passed away's funerals. Yeah. And just the community. Apparently, they have so many volunteers. They don't actually need that many.
Good must come from evil.
Yeah, absolutely. Even good. The taxi drivers were operating free of charge.
Good,
Manchester.
Good must come from evil. That is clear. But the fact of the matter is we shouldn't have the evil in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
There is the key. The key is that we should get... Please, if you come across people that are bigots, because this is any mentality. Anyone that hates a gay and says, we should smash these people, or anyone says that they hate a black, or they hate a Muslim, or they hate a Jew, or they hate blind people. For God's sakes.
Yeah.
We need to stop them in their tracks very quickly. There's the problem.
Yeah, I think if you're willing to kill yourself and a whole bunch of other people with you, just don't. Just stay home and kill yourself.
Yeah, just kill yourself.
Just kill yourself. Don't take children with you.
No, I just think kill yourself.
It's unfriendly.
Quite frankly, maybe the better sign is you should never have been born. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying.
The gene
pool. That person never deserves to be acknowledged. That's why what happened to Osama bin Laden is he was thrown into the sea and he doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Hitler, they don't know where he's buried. Goodbye.
Yeah, cowards don't really deserve a send-off.
But that being said, just a thought pattern and a moment for just people that are performing, that are going off to concerts, because it could happen to every and any single one of us. That's the fact. That's the scary thing. Mm. You never know. Where and what? I was thinking about it. I went off to a concert. When was it? I went to something 2 days ago. And again, I thought to myself, this could happen here. It could happen right now. Mm. It's quite scary.
Mm. True.
But I suppose you just have to live every, you know, a bit of your life as best you can. And, you know, if you get taken out by some coward with a bomb strapped to him, then, you know, then it's your time.
Now, on the line, we've got Brian Hill. And now, you've worked with Brian.
I have indeed.
Okay. Andrew Webster, let's have a little bit of an intro or something to Brian before we're gonna do a group song. But let's just, we're going to chat to Brian in a second. But
well, Brian would remember...
Me and Susie had so much fun.
We had much fun, didn't we, Brian?
Brian Hill, are you on the line?
I'm here, Alan. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. And that is a little bit of an introduction for you, Brian. Welcome to the show. The Teatro turns 10 years old. Yes, you've been in the business for a long period of time, Brian. And there's Andrew Webster giving you a bit of a song over there from... It is Elton John.
Days gone by.
Yeah, Elton John at the soundstage out in Midrand. Yeah, that seems like decades ago. It was.
Let's not.
Brian, tell me first and foremost, 10 years the Teatro. It has been a magical 10 years, has it not?
It has, and it's gone so quickly. I sort of blinked the other day and went, sure. You know, I remember arriving at Monty and going, I'm the new kid on the block, and I keep thinking I'm still the new kid on the block, but it's. You know, it's been an incredible ride with some incredible productions, and I sort of still have to pinch myself that this is, you know, something that I do for a living and I love, you know.
Brian, the theatre was obviously born for the good of theatre in South Africa, but for The Lion King originally. That was the point. That was one of the big reasons for it. Do you remember the opening of The Lion King and the opening of the theatre?
I do. It was a memorable night for many, many different reasons.
Go into them.
Well, we started a little bit late. You know, the birthing of a new theatre, any new theatre, is always going to be slightly traumatic. And I remember trying to get the venue ready on time for the first public performance on the 22nd of May, which was a preview. And then we had our press night, which I think was so... overwhelming with regards to the VIP guests from around the world. You know, having a high profile company like Disney come into South Africa for the first time, and then the fact that it was a South African cast performing a show that had South African music in it in a brand new South African theater was daunting, to say the least.
I can only begin to imagine. And then, of course, it opened to illustrious applauses, and the theatre has gone from strength to strength. Some of the highlights...
That was the amazing thing. You know, it opened and we didn't... It had an unending run. We weren't quite sure how long it was going to run for, whether the South African public was going to come. Mm. And we opened the doors and said, okay, you know, sort of like Field of Dreams, build it and they will come. And I think the word of mouth and the South African public's reaction to The Lion King was unprecedented in South African theatre history. And the fact that it ran for 9 months and over half a million people saw just one show was extraordinary. It gave me a bit of breathing space to sort of learn how to do words and not have to worry about what was coming next.
As the GM of the theatre, go through some of the other great highlights over the past 10 years for you.
Do you know what? The interesting thing about the Teatro is if I had to choose my own, what I love in theatre, I think we'd close down tomorrow because obviously what one of the challenges, I think, with the venue is giving the public what they want. So, you know, the public have adored shows, obviously, like The Phantom of the Opera. They've loved Jersey Boys. The family shows such as Sound of Music are great. Mm. Lord of the Dance has always been a popular favorite. And then whenever we do our own artists such as the Parlatones or Prime Circle, you know, that they also pack in the houses as well. So it's a very versatile venue that you can come and see a grand show like Lion King, then a family show like Annie, and then something like the Parlatones, you know. And then Trevor Noah packed the place out before he became who he is today. You you know, so it's a very versatile venue that it can actually appeal and show off to the best advantage a one-man show like Trevor, and also spectaculars like a Priscilla or Lion King.
Of course, at the moment, you do have Priscilla, Queen of the Desert there. It's rocking and rolling. I mean, and that is, has that perhaps next to the Lion King been one of your biggest stage, I mean, that in terms of the costumes and the sets, is that the biggest that you've ever seen?
The biggest is after Lion King is definitely Phantom. Phantom really? Is unprecedented in the world as one of the biggest productions. In terms of space backstage, Priscilla's right up there. There's so many different costumes and props. I mean, you walk down the corridors and it's packed with costumes and wigs and shoes and things. And that's, you know, most of the sort of spectacular shows like Phantom, etc., have that. The sets of Phantom are quite bulky as well, you know, with the staircases and obviously the famous chandelier, etc. So, you know, Priscilla's got the bus, which is a big feature of the show. But, you know, every show's got its own little idiosyncrasies. I mean, one of the most extraordinary things for me was walking backstage when the shows weren't on for War Horse. And you see the puppets there and you know how they're brought to life on stage, and they were so lifelike. I mean, that's one of the sort of joys of my job. You get to see the behind the scenes and how everything works to get it to a performance.
Brian, let's talk about what the theatre has done for the industry, and what do you believe it's done for the industry in terms of not in promoting the arts, but it maybe for young people to get great jobs. Tell me about what you've done in that.
You know, it's an interesting question, because I came out of a background of the arts councils in the 80s and 90s. And in those days, we didn't have the rights to a lot of shows. And those that we did were quite old fashioned. So we did a lot of our own staging and own productions, and it created a lot of work for choreographers and directors. What the Teatro has done has changed the model slightly, in that it has opened up the doors for international producers to allow the rights to come and have their production staged exactly as you would see it in the West End or on Broadway. And what that has done, the transference of skills, both for the artists and the crews that work on them, has been immense. You know, if I think back to Lion King, where the entire crew was Australian, who eventually then had to teach the show to local cast. There are very few productions that come out now that are not solely run by our own South African cast and crew. You know, so it's something like Priscilla is totally operated, performed, etc., by South African cast and crew and musicians. And I think that has grown over the last 10 years. The other thing that has happened, which is an extraordinary feather in our cap, is that the international market has learned of the quality of our productions and then asked us to export the productions into the Far East and some other territories. You know, Joseph has just finished a run down in New Zealand after, I think, about 6 weeks. And those type of things they can only do well for our industry. Priscilla finishes here and goes off to Hong Kong once it's done here with the South African cast. So that's the one aspect of it. The other aspect is that the training, especially for musicals, has increased since then. There are far more people. I mean, I always laugh when I meet kids on stage who are coming into the industry, and they say to me, oh, my first show was The Lion King. It made me want to go into the business. And I feel like saying, well, you do know there was 30 to 40 years of musicals before The Lion King and the theatre came along. But it's interesting that generation sees The Lion King as such a groundbreaking impact on their lives that they now decided to come into the industry.
Brian, congratulations on 10 years. Happy birthday to the Teatro. And, of course, we've got to thank Sochosan and Monte Cassino, because without that type of money, that type of investment, and that type of belief from companies.
And you know, that's one of Sochosan's vision. You know, they saw a gap in the market. They invested in it 11 years ago, 12 years ago. They made the decision to build it. And, you know, it was the right decision. And as long as the audiences keep coming, we'll be here giving them what they want.
Brian Hill, happy birthday to the Teatro, and thank you for joining us. And I want to get you in studio, Brian. I want to know some of the, because you've come across some crazy things in your life, I think.
Some of the stuff I can't say on air.
Write it in a book, and then we can just never publish it.
He'll coax it out of you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Cheers. Have a good day.
And that's Brian Hill, the GM of the Teatro Theatre at Monte Cassino. And, of course, don't forget Priscilla is there.
I can't believe there were musicals before The Lion King.
Oh, shut up, you. How silly are you, Nathan?
I'm a real boy.
All right. Now we're coming to the magic of what is sitting with us in studio. And a show called A Beautiful Noise is happening at a new theatre called the Rockwood Theatre in Pretoria East. Okay, and if you know Andrew Webster, Andrew, I said this to you outside because you have this following, but you have done mainstream huge Joburg Theatre, big musicals.
Yes.
But you are very well known for being in the smaller houses.
Yeah.
That produce... The Barnyard, for example.
Tribute shows.
Yeah. And Andrew, you have a following. People go, where's Andrew next?
basically stalkers.
Yeah, basically.
They don't ever ask that question because they're like, I know exactly where Andrew is right now.
I think Andrew's been on more posters than any other actor in South Africa.
Yeah, I think I might have been,
I think you have been. And we're all going to go see Andrew.
Even for things that he hasn't been in, I think.
This is actually true. you know, it's true.
You're like a stunt double.
I am.
Andrew, you are now putting the show together, A Beautiful Noise. Just tell us, what is A Beautiful Noise? What is it about?
A Beautiful Noise is a tribute to country, to folk, and to acoustic rock music. For me personally, it's a tribute to the stringed instrument, that being the guitar, the pedal steel guitar, the lap steel guitar, the dobro, the banjo. I am a guitarist first and foremost. That is my love. That is what I studied when I was at varsity. I majored in guitar. And so it's music that has lent itself to this wonderful instrument and music that has come from this wonderful instrument, you know. So, yeah, acoustic rock and country, of course, and blues and, yeah.
So in studio, Andrew Webster. We've got Vernon Barnett and Nadine.
Sizem.
I've just got it. Sizem.
Why don't you just call yourself Nadine Smith?
Nadinosaurus. For some reason, people don't forget that.
Okay, so
I like Sizem.
We're going to chat to you all in a second, but I thought, because the show's called A Beautiful Noise, I don't know about you, but I want to hear a beautiful noise.
I thought you wanted to say you wanted to make a beautiful noise. Well, I don't know what you had for breakfast, Al.
Now, I'd like to hear a beautiful noise.
Let's play something.
Yeah, let's start off with a beautiful noise. This is The Unview. It's Alan Ford and Nathan Rowe, and let's hear the magic of A Beautiful Voice opening at the Rockwood Theatre.
To be chilled, but you're so hot that I melted. I fell right through the cracks, and I'm trying to get back. Before the cool don't run out, I'll be giving it my bestest, and nothing's gonna stop me but divine intervention. I reckon it's again my turn to win some or learn some, but I won't hesitate no more. No more, it cannot wait. I'm yours, there's no need to complicate. Our time is short, this is our fate. I'm yours, open up your mind and see like me. Open up your plans and damn, you're free. Look into your heart and you'll find that the sky is yours. So please don't. There's no need to complicate. Cause our time is short. And this is our fate. I'm yours.
Well done.
Wow.
And that is a beautiful noise.
I must say, that's probably the
best
pre- 9:30 performance we've ever had.
That is the best we've had, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've had some big names.
Big names sing in studio.
First thing in the morning.
Pre 9:30.
Yeah.
So we should have actually gone.
Yeah.
Won't hesitate.
It would have gone with the old country folk thing.
Absolutely. A bit of Johnny Cash, maybe.
There we go. Yeah.
So, Vernon Barnard.
Hello.
You turned South Africa on its head in the Last Voice series because you walked on stage. I was watching the TV at the time. You made me cry. That's exactly what happened because it was incredible because, you know, one forgets that, yes, you have to have someone take you to the microphone and touch the microphone because you cannot see. And Vernon, you were the blind contestant. Now, one shouldn't say there's the fat contestant or the blue contestant or whatever it is, but you were. And
yeah, it's reality TV.
It is reality TV. Know.
And they do have the it's blind auditions.
The yeah, he was the blind.
The blind guy. He was the blind auditions too.
Yeah.
And Vernon, you took to that stage, and the interesting thing that when they turn those chairs, they don't know what they're going to get. So which tells you the talent is there, which is brilliant. You know, it's not like, oh my goodness, it's a pity party. No, because people pity things, which is ridiculous. Because talent is what it's about. But Vernon, what was it like to be on that show, and again to know that the talent superseded the different ability or the disability?
I guess, you know, the first thing when I stepped on that stage, it was obviously a massive, massive moment, and the nerves were just, you know, all over the place. But I just said to myself, listen here, you'll probably never get a chance like this again, so try to use that to your advantage and make the most of the 90 seconds you get. It was quite intimidating just to be around the guys and the girls for the first, you know, few days, because there's so much talent, people who have been in the industry for, like, I don't know, a lot longer than I was or have been so far. So,
how old are you now?
I'm 23, but I only, like, really recently started to sing. Missed out on the dream as a kid because I had to go to boarding school at the age of 6, so couldn't really, like, practice any instruments or vocal things, you know, improve on those things until the age of 19 when I was done with school. But, you know, it was just a blessing. I took it as a learning experience and, you know, feel like I'm a better vocalist for it.
You, Bobby picked you. It was a great working with Bobby from Nelsville.
It was absolutely amazing. I mean, I said before, and I remember, like, the little pre... what clip thingy they showed before I performed, I said I would, if I had the choice, pick Karen, you know. But at that stage, it just came down to you could really choose anyone, but he was just so passionate.
He beat you and came on stage. I mean, he was...
Yeah.
And which is great, because you want that.
Yeah, I mean, it was really passionate. And, you know, it's just... I like working with people like I'm doing now with Andrew and Nadine and a lot of the people that we're going to be in the show with, and... It's a family vibe, so that's the important thing, to just feel comfortable, and he definitely made me feel comfortable, and like we were teammates instead of, you know, like, listen to me, I know more than you do, or whatever. So that was pretty dope.
Andrew Webster, again, a great feeling when you won someone. It's when a producer or a... Because basically, if you think about Bobby's role, Karen's role, Lyra's role, Karen's role, they are... They're producers in a sense.
Yeah.
That's what they do. Yeah. They are mentors slash mentor and a producer, the same director. Same concept.
Just having anyone take an interest in you and have a passion for you is always gold. I think it's something that's lacking in this country, actually, is that there's not enough people taking interest or initiative with young talent.
Just for the record, I had to beg as well.
You had to beg?
I had to beg like Bobby did. You know, I was on my knees.
Come on.
Okay, one knee.
With a ring.
There was no ring.
Oh, no ring.
No.
Sure. No, I'm kidding. But I'm so excited to be working with the two of them and the other guys on the cast as well. We've got Stefan and we've got Kieran and we've got Candace, and they are fantastic singers. Incredibly, incredibly talented. I am so, so lucky to be directing and producing, certainly directing this bunch of talent that I've got. But this lad sitting while we're talking to Vernon and about Vernon at the moment is in a league of his own, definitely.
Vernon, we had Steve Kakana on the show very recently, and again, a phenomenal South African star. He's performed with the likes of PJ across the world, actually. Yeah. And also a blind performer. You got glaucoma at an age. When did you go completely blind?
Well, there were two considerable drops. The one was at the age of 6. I basically went blind, but I was left with 5% sight in my right eye. Mm-hmm. And then I lost that at 17. So I had to kind of learn how to cope with 5%. Which isn't a lot. I could, you know, put my freaking nose right up to the TV screen mm-hmm. and see the cricket score. So that was still good, you know, navigate myself a little bit. And then at the age of 17, I had to adapt once again to, you know, now go without anything, even if it was a little before, it was still a lot. So, yeah, it was, you know, you have to learn how to just cope with life in new ways and make the most of it.
See, yeah, we were chatting before the show, and you are a huge cricket fan, as
yes.
Nadine and I don't understand.
Not so much.
But now, you must really rely on those commentators, and I actually often think about that. Like, the commentators do an amazing job of painting what's going on.
Yeah, it's,
you know, like, because, you know, as a person who can see, you're kind of like, what's the point of these commentators just telling you what you're seeing, you know? But
it's the point of radio. This is what we do here.
Yeah, in a way, it's actually better because it actually unlocks your imagination
to what you see.
To what you're seeing, yeah.
Or what you, yeah. Exactly.
I often think radio is underutilized in that regard.
Yeah, remember, there wasn't television, and most people had to listen to stuff at work, so they had to listen to the radio. So that's why radio has such an immediacy and such. It is the theater of the mind.
Yeah,
definitely.
It seriously is. So Vernon, coming back to you, so at 17 this happens, and I asked this question to Steve, we asked Nathan Rowe and I, and the question was, you're standing there and you don't know what's in front of you. So you're feeding off the energy of what you can't see.
Yeah.
And what is it? So do you feed off the energy? What is going on in your mind when you're up there? You don't know what's in front of you. It's a remarkable question because you don't know what it's like to be blind unless you're blind.
Absolutely,
I said to someone recently, you don't know what it's like to be black unless you in apartheid unless you were black. You know, that's why you have to understand these things.
Definitely.
To ask the people. Vernon.
Well, you know, I think the most intimidating thing about it is that you don't really have the communication with the crowd. And so I don't really know until I hear like applause or whatever, what they're feeling. Luckily, they responded well. You know, it was at first just, okay, how can I use what I have and find new ways to still make myself, you know, likable on stage, communicate and draw the crowd in, that type of thing. So obviously, it was just finding that new way of doing things. But yeah, like I said earlier, it was at first pretty damn intimidating.
When did you first realize you had this voice, this high tenor? Is it a tenor, Andrew?
Tenor.
Yeah, there you go. Tenor out of tenor.
Nice. It happened by accident. Yeah, man. Me and one of my friends, we were the MCs of our school's talent competition, and we just said, okay, let's just do a little bit of a intro item thing for everyone just so that they can kind of, you know, get the spirit of the whole occasion. And then afterwards people...
What did you do?
I sang Lean On Me.
Okay, all right, so now let's...
Cool.
We are there right now, come on.
Yes, exactly.
This is meaning that you're going to actually do it.
Okay.
Yes, hold a second. Wonderful.
Well, we've never rehearsed this and I never knew. It can't be that hard.
This is what we do.
Andrew just pulled the guitar out of his handbag.
Sometimes in our lives,
let me make
we
it.
All have pain. We all have sorrow. If we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend.
I'll be your friend.
I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on.
Yeah. Wow.
Yo. And we all got involved in that one. Yeah.
So now that was the first song you ever kind of sang publicly.
Yeah, first song I ever sang at the age of 19. And
And it happened, it goes people, like, oh God, what happened there?
Yeah, people.
No, but you go to yourself. Because if you've been there and it happens, you go, oh, what was that?
Yeah, man, I didn't have any expectations for it. It was really just like, you know, having fun with it. And I guess that's the main thing of music, right? Like, I guess when we get into the industry, sometimes we feel the pressure because you now have to do it and you have to, you know, there's a lot of expectation around it. But we all get into music for the love of it. And, yeah, people came up to me afterwards and said, hey, maybe you should actually consider this.
What school was this?
It's Pioneer School, school for visually impaired and blind.
Where is it?
In Worcester, in the Western Cape.
The Western Cape, okay.
So, yeah, that's how it happened.
Nadine, how did it happen for you?
What?
How did you get people to learn your surname?
Your surname, yeah.
I'm still getting that right. That's not really happening.
Just size him up.
Okay. How were you bitten in the ass by the music bug?
I kind of have been singing my whole life. The story goes I was fluent, speaking fluently at the age of 6 months and singing then already. My parents thought they had a genius on their hands. They were disappointed to find out, no, it was just the music side, not really anything else.
At least you're pretty.
At least I'm cute. Yeah. Okay. And then after straight out of school, I went straight into tribute shows and stuff, and I wanted to dive right into working and earning something behind my own name and supporting myself. And I never looked back.
So yourself and Vernon met on the set of The Voice South Africa, season one. Yeah. Not the one that's currently...
And I'm guessing he knows you're beautiful because he...
Had to feel your face.
Do you want to tell which side of the story do you want? Because there's two sides.
I really
want
to know.
He just listens to other guys.
No, I want to know. I just want to know. No, I want to know if Vernon knows how good her body is.
Nathan, you
well, we
no,
do
can't just hit on someone. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's like in The Voice.
We do share a bed, so
hey,
wait, let me just go through this. Wait, let me please take this back. The range.
Share a bed.
Okay, so Vernon.
Yeah, sometimes
there is a great
together,
question.
You know?
How do you know she's beautiful besides her energy, her way, and her personality, and the way she speaks to you?
Tell them the truth.
But what is this? What how did you find out that she is actually beautiful? What happened?
You know. Are we allowed? Is this a strict radio station?
Say what you want. No, just say what you got to say.
Okay. You know, I'm specific. I wanted to say something else, but I'm specific, and you know, I feel like sometimes you have to wait for the right thing instead of just jumping on a specific idea. And the moment I met Nadine, like obviously she's very, very attractive and beautiful, but what really just drew me towards her was the fact that we connected on a deeper level. She's funny. She's very intelligent, even though she disses herself.
And hates crickets.
And yeah, we just we are to each other what you know.
Most people search
for. So
but please hear me. Is it the touch of her hand? Is it the kiss of her
lips? Is
it, did you touch her face?
I mean, can I tell you the lies?
Does it sound weird?
No, it's not weird.
He says
that's a story that Hollywood likes to sell.
Yeah, but it's perhaps like that for certain blind people, but I don't really feel people's faces.
Okay, so I had to ask the question because... Yeah.
Because you do hear that. I mean, did did he touch your teeth?
Perception,
Well, the first time he kissed me.
Ooh.
Oh, here we go. You want the dirt? Here's the dirt.
Give us the dirt.
I fancied him and he fancied me. Let's put it like that. But I obviously wasn't thinking in any way. I was trying to catch votes, not feelings at The Voice. Obviously, I caught the latter. But he had his hands on my face, and I thought, you know, he just wants to see what I look like. And then he planted a kiss on me, and honestly, he's like one of the most bravest guys I've ever come across, because I did not see that coming. I was like, oh wait, crap, you like me as well. So that's how it happened.
And so but now, okay, so now you're falling for each other, you're falling in love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're also competitors for The Voice at that point. I mean, that's what's going on here. Come on,
any muser worth their salt only competes with themselves.
That sounds prepared.
That sounds like a Hollywood story.
Boom. Okay. So we're gonna do some more magic with you guys in a moment, but cool. I want to come to you, Andrew. Andrew, over 20 years in this business,
sure,
you've seen a lot, eh?
Mm.
You love it. It's your passion. It's your life.
Absolutely.
How did it start? All the way in Durban. That's where it began.
I saw a show called Queen at the Opera, mm-hmm. at the Playhouse in Durban, which is still the most beautiful theatre in the country. And I'm sure if Brian is listening to this, he would probably agree. And Brian was, I think, around at the time. Queen at the Opera was the brainchild of... Now I'm showing my age because you've caught me with a question. Jeffrey Sutherland. And Joseph Clark was in it. And Joseph Clark is still just one of the best singers I know and best people I know. Anyway, it was, I fell in love with theater, with performance, with the lighting, with the sets, with everything, even Queen. I liked Queen, but I fell in love with Queen's music even more after seeing that show. There's just something so tangible about sitting in a theater and it's all unraveling in front of your eyes in that moment.
Are the Websters musical people?
My father was a budding musician, a guitarist. He just didn't have the confidence that I have got to take it to another level. So he did what all good guitarists do that don't have confidence, and he became an accountant.
Okay. But played music at Christmas time and stuff like that.
Yeah, the guitar would always come out at family functions and they would sing those old folk songs by the Seekers. And
I love the way when you say that in a room of musicians, you're like, oh, Shame, so sorry to hear.
That you became an accountant and you made 5 billion rand. So sorry about that. And the struggling artist is going, God help me. Okay.
Happy and hungry.
Yeah, I'm happy and hungry. Yeah, cool. Then you come to Johannesburg, and then you've played across the board. I mean, from small theatres to big theatres.
What actually happened was I, being a very proficient guitarist when I was Vernie's age, when I was 23, I got cast in a musical where that particular principal character had to be an incredibly good guitarist. It was called Return to the Forbidden Planet, the show, and... particular character had to be able to play the guitar incredibly well, which I could do at the time. I probably maybe could try and do it now, but I was very good in those days. And became very well known and got some accolades and everything went well with that. I then went to go live in the UK and started working for British Telecom in their call center.
Sure. So sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Thanks, again, Matthew. Accountant and...
Just actually having to do work is quite depressing.
It was awful. It was the only 6 months that I've worked in my life, and it was the most miserable 6 months that I've worked. Earning pounds and all, you know that stuff.
Terrible.
Who would want
money?
Who would want that whole thing?
Yeah.
And I got a call while I was in the UK from a good friend of mine, Heidi Idling, who had been the musical director on Planet, and she said, you know, I was reading through the program, and in the program, you said you dreamed of one day playing the lead of Buddy and the Buddy Holly story. And I'd seen Joe Clark do it, actually. Not Craig O'Barney, who was famous for doing it at the time. Mm. Craig's a good mate of mine, but I didn't watch you, Craig. I thought that Joe was brilliant anyway.
He said Craig won all the awards overseas.
Of course he did.
I'm just saying. Not taking away from Joseph Clark.
Craig was just still the best Buddy. Anyway. So I'd seen Joe, and... So they said, look, you know, we're doing the show again. Would you consider playing the role of Joe, actually, who was the bass player for the Crickets? And I said, well, you know, I'm 8,500 kilometers away from where you're auditioning it. So come back to me with possibly offering me Buddy, and I might look to making the journey. So she called me and said, look, we'd like you to audition for Buddy. So it's a long way to go for an audition, but that's how strongly I felt about wanting to do this, and it's how badly
and
I wanted it.
How horrible it was working in telecoms.
It was a bit of that as well. So I flew out to South Africa via Rome and prepared myself for this audition, and it was harrowing. And I suppose back in those days, and this was 1998, there was no Idols, there was no The Voice. Mm. This was my big shot. And when I arrived at the State Theatre, I saw people whose faces I'd been seeing on TV growing up, like Paul Ditchfield and Pierre van Pletzen. And so that was incredibly, incredibly intimidating for me. And they'd narrowed it down to 3 guys, and I was one of the 3, and I'd yet to audition. So I made sure that I was incredibly well prepared. And I remember, I obviously sailed through the guitar side of things, I sailed through the singing side of things, and I had to act a couple of scenes. And I'd only done one musical before, and the director, the great Pierre van Pletzen, who you would know as Obas from Seven Delight.
Oh, yes, of course.
His
son is also a very, very great producer right now.
Yes, also awesomely talented.
Peach.
Peach. You know, I remember him asking me, have you had any acting training, Andrew? I should have lied and gone, yes, absolutely I. But I remember I said, I've had squat. And he said, what does that mean? Yeah. And I said, I've had none.
Saved yourself and said, no, I'm very good at squats.
Yeah.
And I'm a proficient actor.
Which is what I do now, yes, you know, yeah. As you know, Nathan. But anyway. No, it's all upper body. Every day is upper body day with you and I, hey?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, okay. Every day is...
Yeah.
I used to go to gym. Let's just put it that way.
That's where I used to meet you. Anyway. Yes. So, you know, I think he was a bit torn. He went, yeah, I've got a guy here who's a good singer, a fantastic guitarist, but he's got no acting expertise and experience. This is a 3.5 hour long musical. It is 96 pages of script that belong to only Buddy.
Wow.
So somebody sold him, and I got cast, and that was the beginning of
that's
a great journey.
That's really a leap of faith, eh? An 8,000 mile leap of faith.
Wow. I think, you know, as much of it being a leap of faith for me, it was a leap of faith on behalf of the producers of the show as well.
Yeah, sure. But it all worked out pretty well in the end.
All's well that ends.
Did you enjoy Buddy?
I loved it.
The big glasses.
I mean, you did it for
years.
It was
awesome. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
But you moved from theatre to theatre, which meant you got to play in front of different audiences, which is a great thing. How long did you play for it? How long did you play for?
It was months. It was months. I didn't run for as long as Craig. I mean, again, Craig is the quintessential. You know, he has played it from Australia to Europe to, of course, the long runs in England, the UK tours, the West End. That was my dream. But to have been involved in the show for as long as I did was unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
I saw Buddy Holly. I didn't see you in it, Andrew, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But guess who was playing him? Jonathan Rocksmith.
Yes.
That was one of his earlier...
Yeah, I actually auditioned for that. It was in the Barnyard production of Buddy on. And I'm ashamed to say I turned it down... because they couldn't pay me enough.
Really?
And they gave it to Jonathan.
And they cast Jonathan, but I just sort of stayed in my
it's
in
still
my.
Crying about it.
That, but that's no, why no, it's interesting cool. to I, say that yeah. if you look at the at that type of theatre space, the smaller type of theatres, they did a phenomenal groundwork to get people into mainstream theatre.
Yeah,
you know,
were you ever there?
Barnyard?
Yeah.
No. Okay. I play in Swing City, and we occasionally do shows at Barnyard.
Oh, you were at Pretoria a few months ago.
Yeah. I haven't actually done a Barnyard show there.
What Louis, you know, was aiming to do and has very successfully done, and I think you've alluded to it now, is, you know, with the Barnyards, the first Barnyard was literally a barn on a farm.
Yeah.
Yes,
You know, and it grew very, very quickly, exponentially into what it became. And Louis always wanted to take theatre to the people as opposed to the people coming to theatre. That was what he wanted to do, and I think he's certainly managed to do that. Mm. Yeah. Nailed it. Well done, Louis.
Nailed it.
On that note, very quickly, it's time for a punt. The Chat Party's this weekend, and that is like going to a barn dance.
The Chat Party?
Yeah. The what?
The Chat Party.
Is that a gay thing?
Have you ever heard of the GAT? It's an Afrikaans word.
So I'm just going to sit out of this one.
The treffer, okay, cool. Man. I want to dance.
The treffer.
It's gay and lesbian lung arm dancing in a community centre.
Wow. Okay.
It's happening at the Parkhurst Community Centre, 7 o'clock this Saturday. It's 100 rand to get in, please. Great support. It's really wonderful.
That reminds me of something.
You've got to come.
I was once asked to judge a beauty pageant,
yeah?
To which you don't say no to. You're like,
You're like, I'm there.
I love beauty pageants. And I went, and it was called the Groot Gat Godin. And now my Afrikaans is kak.
As good as mine.
So I went thinking, oh, Groot Gat, it must be the big hole, because I'm in Kimberley.
Yeah.
It was in Cullinan, so I'm thinking the Cullinan Diamond, Kimberley. Yeah, it must be girls from Kimberley. It was not.
Girls
it
was, at
it
all.
It was a ladies.
It was large ladies. Yes. It was very. It was actually so much fun.
It's an ass.
Were they ladies or men?
Ladies.
No, the ladies.
Oh, they were big ladies.
They were just big fat bottom girls, basically.
Big bottom girls.
That reminds me of
that's a song, Fat Bottom Girls from Queen.
I did a gig with, I did a show for Kevin Feather called the Doo-Wah Boys many years ago, and it was myself, Emmanuel Castus, who's very well known, Brandon Orette, who's a well known actor now, and Percy. It was just the three of us actually down in PE, and our first show was at Gary Hemmings's On Broadway. Mm-hmm. You know, and we were the boys. We were the Doo-Wah Boys. There was very little clothing, and we kind of sang a bit as well, you know. And
bodies have changed, Emmanuel.
Andrew's still keeping it together.
Andrew's got it together.
Well.
Yeah.
I think at the time it was the other way around. I was like, you know, I didn't want to be seen in hardly anything, and these guys were
very happy.
Very, very happy to be wearing it. But the screams that we were getting from the tables inside this very, very dark venue, we were just so excited as to what we were going to be meeting after the show, you know, and flexing and just, it was all happening. It was all going on. Needless to say, we all got in the car and drove very, 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 very quickly away from the venue because Misk APE and all his friends were sort of chasing us around.
Oh, wow.
Around all. Okay, yeah.
Okay. That's not what this party's about. This party's about gay couples.
Yes.
Gay and lesbian couples who love to lang adem.
Yes.
And they come and they bring in their cooler boxes and they sit at their tables, and we have the top DJ, Tammy Macava, and literally they dance lang adem, and then the whole and it's not just Afrikaans people. So
I was going to say, do you have to lung adem at the?
And do you have to be gay?
No. But it's just
checking out.
You see, the whole thing is that you find that
it's a celebration.
It is a celebration because a lot of people are shy there with their partners, and it's just like when they're having a wedding in Viljoenskroon. It's hard for them to dance lang adem with their partner in front of their old aunties and oomies, and you don't want to make it uncomfortable.
Oh, I see.
So this is a spot that people can come and lung at
them.
And then, of course, we play Achy Breaky Heart, so everyone turns into that. And we've got Indian people, black people, white people, a lot of Afrikaans people, Jewish people, gays, lesbians, straights, fag hags, stag hags.
Achy Breaky Heart was Miley Cyrus's dad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
No, he's the youngster. I'm the cougar. You don't know. I'm almost 30.
Are you a cougar?
Yeah.
She's a bit of a cougar, huh?
Yeah. I did not know. I just
want to know, Elle, you said 21. They turn into that.
They turn into that.
when Achy Breaky Heart plays, they turn into that.
They turn into that. You know, they wear that barn dance.
Yes.
And then it's square dancing. You know,
that line dance that you just know.
We all know.
You never get taught it, you just know it.
Is it a line? Is it a square? What's going on?
You've got to come and see. This whole thing is so cool. And it's at the Parkhurst Community Centre. And so please tell your friends. It's really fun. It's very cool.
Sounds cool.
It's something that I want to punt every month.
And what is the date?
It's this coming Saturday. So please come along.
26th.
You're cracking the whip, so we'll be in rehearsals.
Have you guys actually told us?
We'll get there.
Oh, okay.
Because we're going to Victoria East, you see, because I've been checking out where this Rockwood Theatre is. Because we've got Andrew Webster here, Vernon Barnard and Nadine Sazan.
Sison
and Dyson, baby, yeah.
What is it with me?
I don't know.
I'm gonna get you to do this.
You know when you see like a nemesis come in? And you're like, sizing enough.
I'm going to give it to you. You can say it as many times in different ways.
So, what? The other beautiful noise songs that you sing, let's have another one.
Whoa.
Okay.
Let's get you prepped up for this one.
I heard you teasing Nadine and saying you wanted to do hello.
Yeah, but there's no chance of that.
Come on, it's after 9:30.
We can do two little... Yeah, why not? We're going to do two of them. So let's go.
Which ones do you want to do?
No, don't do hello. Okay. Shame.
All right. Shame.
I saw the fear in her eyes.
Thanks.
I mean, why not?
Sing something else, Bernie. Remember, it's ho first, hey?
You're warning me, but you always stuff it up. Let's go.
The ho.
Okay. I thought it was bros before ho.
That's enough. Sue Rufus.
I've been trying to do it right.
Hey!
I've been living a lonely life.
Ho!
I've been sleeping here instead.
Hey!
I've been sleeping in my bed.
Ho!
Sleeping in my bed.
Hey!
Whoa.
Ho!
So show me family.
Hey!
All the
with you. You belong with me, you my sweetheart. I belong with you. You belong with me, you my sweetheart. Yeah. I don't think you're right for him. Think the word it might have been if you took a bus to Chinatown. And I'd be standing on canal. I worry, yeah. She be standing next to me, yeah. I belong with you, you belong with me, you're my sweetheart. I belong with you, you belong with me, you're my sweetheart.
Brilliant, guys. That is a beautiful noise. Thank you for Nathan with the ukulele there.
Yeah?
We had a bit of the ukulele coming
in
there.
That was lovely.
No, that was good.
I was trying to see what
that
Andrew
ho and
was
hey. I'm going to hold the ho and hey forever and ever. Andrew, that microphone is doing some crazy things.
I know it is. It's
trying to so before hey. Where is this? This is happening at the new theatre. It's called the Rockwood. And Andrew, you've taken over being the resident director, one of the exec producers, associate producers there at the venue.
Yes.
Tell me about the venue. Tell me what it's about. What can we expect? How does it work?
You know, let me just say first and foremost, the shows that we're going to be producing at the Rockwood Theatre are going to be produced by the Rockwood Theatre for the Rockwood Theatre, kind of along the lines of what Richard Loring used to do at the Soundstage back in the you know, the late 90s to the mid 2000s. So we're wanting to have shows that will run for longer and shows that will be specifically tailored to the market that is there. And we have quite a conservative Afrikaans market in Pretoria. So we're also going to be giving them a lot of the music that they enjoy to hear. So we're going to be giving a lot of attention to some of the Afrikaans
It's great
content
stuff.
And
I'm telling you.
That too, you know?
Parkhurst, I'm telling you, I'm sitting in Parkhurst. You've got people that come from all walks of life, but a lot of Afrikaans people, and they go crazy. There is a strong following
Absolutely.
For this phenomenal music called Afrikaans music.
Absolutely.
And we cater for it. I'm telling you, we get 300-400 people into a community centre, and that's what I'm saying you should be doing.
For sure.
And, of course, you can cross-pollinate with all other types of
music. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, please, while I was saying that, it's not only specifically for that. I mean, we want to hit every single demographic in the area, and we're going to. We just not, you know, we want to include everybody, absolutely.
I mean, you're a port in Italian, so can you even speak Afrikaans? Andrew,
you just call him a poor Italian.
No, man.
I am a poor. I'm a poor Italian.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, what did you say?
Port Natalian.
Port Natalian.
How young are you, Nathan?
Port Natal.
Aren't you from Durban as well?
No, I'm not.
I said a Port Natalian.
I heard poor Italian too.
My other half comes from Natal. Let me just tell you, they are the greatest. They are so hot, by the way. The best looking.
True.
Okay.
Oh, then you can't. Yeah,
he's not from there. Right. Come on.
Whoa.
I've always said Durbanites. No. Durban men beat all the rest of the
I just assumed too. Because you couldn't speak Afrikaans, because nobody from Durban can get a handle on this.
I mean, I know.
I'm married to an Afrikaner, okay? Like a proper Afrikaner.
Have you got kids?
Yes.
How many?
Two.
Twins.
They are twinnies.
Well done.
Do they sing and do they perform?
Yes, they do indeed. Absolutely.
How old are they?
They're six.
Okay, brilliant.
And they're gorgeous.
And what does your wife do?
She works at the Rockwood Theatre. I don't know if you've heard of this place.
It's a family business.
Yeah.
When is the Beautiful Noise, A Beautiful Noise opening?
It opens on the 1st of June, which is next Thursday.
Okay.
And I was about to go into a whole spiel about the tickets, which I won't do. Visit www.rockwoodtheatre.co.za for more information.
How many voiceovers has he done?
Never.
Do the twins run the website?
No, they're just on harmonies for now. But you know, okay, cool.
Give us that address again.
www.rockwoodtheatre.co.za.
Okay, to book. And the show goes on for how long? How long is the run?
The run is from the 1st of June until the 3rd of August. So get your tickets now because they're running out.
And is it? Do you bring food? How does it work?
It's exactly like the Barnyard Theatre used to work.
Exactly.
Yeah, except we do have a very, very good kitchen and amazing menu, so you don't have to bring food.
But you can.
You can if you want to.
Do the same thing. I'm kidding.
Yeah, you can if you want to, but we've got a great new menu. There's a new look to the venue. There's a VIP section to the venue as well, which is at the back, so you pay a little bit extra, but you get your couches and all the rest, but you can sit there. You get somebody to come and serve you during the show, so there are a whole lot of new little nuances to the venue that we can't wait to share.
Sounds amazing. We're going to pull Alan Ford's free tickets and we're going to come.
You must come.
Pull free tickets.
Right.
We pay for this in the world.
No, no, haven't you been invited?
Al, I think
we I actually have been invited. Yes. Well, we're going to have to close soon. We still have a 1 or 2 minutes. I want to say something, Nathan. It's good to have you in the studio. You're looking much better. You look worse for wear.
Thank you. I'm still not 100%, but don't worry, I'm not contagious.
So. No, I'm not too. Well, that's always good. I want to thank my very special guest in studio.
Let's see if you can say her name.
Say it. Come on.
You got this.
Nadine Sazam.
No.
Close. Nothing.
Do it for me.
Sazam.
Sysom.
Sysom.
It's okay, I'll talk.
Nadine Sysom. Vernon. Barnard, Andrew Webster, thank you, Brian Hill, for joining me on the line, and of course, Nathan Rowe for being in studio. Just pick up that guitar for a second, give us one last little strum, quickly, one last little thing. From you personally, go.
From me personally?
From Andrew Webster, go.
This to your song.
And I like it that way.
And this is The Unview, The Thin, The Rich, and The Fabulous with Alan Ford and the one and only...
Nathan Rowe.
It's good to be with you. Have a great Thursday. Thank you very much. A beautiful noise in studio.
The Unview, The Thin, The Rich, and The Fabulous on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.